Welcome to the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. I've been recording episodes of Walnut Grovecast for nearly 4 years, and as we approach our 100th episode, I can't help but look back and cherish the moments that have meant so much to me. When I launched the Patreon campaign about a year ago, I didn't know if anybody would support this little show about Little House on the Prairie. But to my surprise, many have, and with their continued support, it allows me to not only continue releasing episodes, which are now permanently weekly, by the way, but also create small items like stickers and stuff like that. Most of you have gotten back to me about your favorite character. It is all for something that I'm working on. I think you will enjoy what shows up on your doorstep very soon. I would like to thank the following supporters for their continuous support. And if I get anyone's name wrong, please send me an email or hit me up on Facebook. I would really appreciate knowing how to pronounce your last name or first name. Suzanne Holland, Spunky Cheek, Leah Mitchell, Laura Solarin, Kim and Jack Lair, Dana Wilkins, Chantel Dubois-Nishiyama, Aaron Wortman, Angela Bowen, Anne Quinn, Dottie Cashin, Dean Butler, Gerald Lang, Ginny Comer, Jeannie Schneider-Mitchell, I hope you're feeling better, Jeannie, by the way, Jeff Griffin, Laura Furman, Megan Parker, Melissa Gilbert, The No Agenda Podcast, Rebecca Harris, Sherry Benner, Susan King, Teresa Trapp, Valerie Williams, Whitney, Brian S., Bobby Young, Brenda Worsley, Chris Cooling from the Forgotten.tv podcast, Don Roberts, and Max Duration. Thank you again for your support, and I look forward to making many, many more episodes. If you would like to support Walnut Grovecast, please visit patreon.com/walnutgrovecast. Without further delay, please enjoy the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. Welcome to Walnut Grovecast. My name is Mark. I'm on with Kim Lair tonight. How are you, Kim?
I'm doing great, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Have you ever seen Family Guy make the parody of this intro?
Yes, I have. It's spot on. It's perfect.
It really is. It's very funny. If you haven't seen it, somebody's listening, they haven't seen it, just go to YouTube and type Family Guy and Little House. And it is. It's just really funny. I always wonder, you know, you have to wonder what's going on in the actors' heads in that opening shot where they're kind of going across the prairie. It's like this rickety wagon feels like it's going to fall apart. Because the wagons do look pretty rickety. They don't seem so stable.
Yeah, that's for sure. Especially the Ingalls wagon. No frills, nothing.
Yeah, it's basically like the, what is that called? The, what was a crappy car in the 70s? The 80s. Oh, it's going to bother me now. It'll come to me. A Yugo. It's a Yugoslavian car.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I have no frame of reference for cars.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah,
not at all. Sorry.
The Yugo is basically a $4,000 piece of junk.
Okay.
In 1985. But yeah, it was literally a piece of junk. So, all right, we're here in Little House on the Prairie, and I'm going to try my best to stay on topic. I'll try my best. It's already failed. We're watching an episode that would be the last episode of the 1970s for Little House on the Prairie. One week later would be Christmas, and then the 1980 would kind of be rushed in. So this is the episode they say goodbye to, which is weird. I don't know. It's do you want to talk about the episode and the title and all that stuff?
Yes, thank you. This is The Angry Heart, which is season 6, episode 13.
Yeah. And it's December 17th, 1979. And I don't know. I would think, I don't know. I say all the time, I wish that they had more of a focus or a little foresight as to where these episodes kind of played themselves out in holidays and the time of the year.
Yeah, I can definitely understand that. There's absolutely nothing Christmassy about this episode at all. If anything, it's like an August episode.
Right. They all, actually, I think 80% of the episodes are kind of August episodes.
Yeah, that's true. Everybody's working up a good sweat.
Yeah, or it's like, you know, blizzard.
Yeah.
It's one or the other.
Extremes, exactly.
Now, this is the kind of episode that I like because it starts out, you know, in a different town, in a different people. We've never seen them. And actually, it travels to the past, which is even more interesting.
Right. Yeah, we have no idea who any of these people are.
And in all fairness, I think that there's a character that gets introduced here. His name is Joe, who I think is probably the nicest person to ever be on Little House on the Prairie.
I'm going to slightly disagree.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I have my own daddy issues. So,
okay.
he has one of the best lines I've ever heard in Little House. And I'll just say it's three words. Yeah. What's that stink? You know, and I love it. I love this. I love how mean this guy is and how crazy he is. He's just a real dick, I guess. He's a real charmer.
I mean, he's comically evil, and I will say that the lines, like, what's that stink, like, did make me laugh out loud because it's just so preposterous, but yeah. I love it.
It kind of reminds me of Robert De Niro in the one where he's a boxer, mm-hmm. and he's yelling at his wife, he's like, bring it over here! And he's screaming, you know, like, you're murdering the steak! And he's screaming at her, and she's making the food wrong, and they're screaming at each other, and it's a very crazy scene. So, but unfortunately, it doesn't really go that way. I'm going to play some of Joe. I'm going to start calling him Happy Joe. Whoops, a little bit low.
Welcome home, Joe. Thank you very much, Joe. What's that stink?
Sit down, Joe.
I asked you a question. What's that stink?
We hear the fog bell in the background.
I just heard it now. I didn't notice it when I was watching.
Me either. I said, rrr, rrr. So yeah, there. I guess that was the first indication that we're going to be on the docks, right?
Right. Well, when we first start out, we're like in a rowboat coming up, and there's lanterns on the dock, mm-hmm. so we know we're kind of on the water.
And he also has that the kind of cap, I think, that people, I always associate with ships for some reason. I'm not really sure what the cap is called.
Interesting. No, I have no idea, but he does look like a dock worker.
He does. And then maybe it's possible he was wearing a pea coat. It's already off, but mm-hmm. but here he is.
What do you call this?
Just a good thick soup.
So that glue, we could use it on the docks.
It's made from a good stock.
I like pieces of meat in my soup.
Well, I do the best I can with what you give me. Do you go to the hiring hall today?
That horn is going off like crazy now.
Seriously.
I can't not hear it now. But the hiring hole. Do you know anything about a hiring hole? I don't.
Yes. Well, I had to watch it with subtitles on. So it's hiring hall, H-A-L-L.
Wait, let me ask you about this. Okay.
Okay.
You watch TV with subtitles.
No, only when we're going to do an episode and I have to pay like super close attention. I will put the subtitles on when I'm taking my notes. like, okay, when I know you and I are going to do an episode, I'll just do a one run through, just like a nice clean run through. Then the second time I watch it with subtitles, I am like zooming in, I'm taking crazy notes. And then I'll usually watch it the day of, just like as another refresher. So on one of my watches, I saw Hiring Hall. And from what I could tell, it's like a temp agency, basically.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where you wait on the dock, and if a ship comes in, they probably will hire you. Like the guys who hold the signs, like when you're driving, and it's like they're just waving you on. Those guys are usually paid by the day or by the hour for a day.
Like the laborer guys.
Yeah.
But I have the feeling it's like a little more like a temp agency, because that man who we'll meet later, Jedediah, he runs the Hiring Hall, and, you know, Joe has a big issue of, you know, oh, they're bribing you. That's why they're getting the jobs. How come I don't get a job? So,
yeah. And I'm not really sure. We never really go into too far what Joe is all about, except the guy's pretty bitter. He seems pretty intoxicated.
Exactly. I think he's just a drunk, and, you know, it's just a tense household. I have my own fair share of issues with Edna, the mom.
Yeah. She seems like a scared, you know, pet or something, you know?
Yeah. Okay. I agree, but I'll save my comments for later down the road when they're going to come in handy. But he's like, when he first walks in, he's like, "Welcome home, Joe." And it's true. She didn't even like acknowledge when he walked through the door. But, you know, I don't know their history.
I look at it a little bit different. She's probably afraid to say, she's probably afraid to say anything to the guy, because he, you know, you never know which way, maybe which Joe you're getting. But at the same time, she said, "Sit down, Joe." And I'm thinking that might be a trigger. You know, maybe she just doesn't know how to talk to people.
Yeah, it's a possibility. I mean, you know, she definitely has communication issues. She leaves a few things out with her parents later down the road.
Yeah.
That I would want to know, but anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yeah, exactly. So we have Todd. You know, he's like, "Where's my son? Where's the boy?" So Todd comes out, and he's a cute little boy, and he's got his little suspenders. He looks like a little Michael Landon. And hey, Paul, you know. And he's petrified of Joe, of course. So Joe, of course, takes all of his anger out on poor little Todd. And I hear some of that.
"Oh, that's it, huh? Sorry. Sorry, Pa. Well, if you're going to tear your shirt..."
Well, he had a tear in his shirt. He's like, "What's this?" And then he just started apologizing for it. So if he's going to tear his shirt, Joe's going to show him how to really tear it.
"Why not tear it right?"
"Oh, don't!
Stay out of it! I know how to handle him. He needs a little what my pa gave me. Are you going to play with your shirt again? Huh? Answer me! Answer me! Answer me!"
Joe. All I have to say is this. Parents, choose your battles. This isn't right.
The shirt was definitely mendable beforehand. I don't think so after Joe got his hands on it.
No.
But he slaps little Todd, and he starts shaking him like crazy. And obviously it's supposed to be portraying child abuse, and that's all very sad, but the actor is really shaking this child actor.
You can see it's like, all right, it's like he stopped the actor, and Michael Landon walks in. It's like, "Look, you're gonna have to shake him, like, for real."
Yeah, that poor kid's like teeth were rattling in his head. Oh my gosh.
Hey, if you look closely, you can see a filling fly out. It's okay. Michael Landon said it's okay. So yeah, he's kind of the worst. He leaves, and the mother is basically just apologizing, making excuses, saying he's just drunk. So Joe runs out. He's not even going to finish his what is he eating? Gruel? I'm not really sure where to put the carrot.
Yeah, it's a stew from a good stock.
Yeah, it's it's a thick stew, right? Did she refer to it as thick?
I don't know, but it's a thick, stinky stew.
Yeah, with like, yeah, it's not great. That's what I'm going to say. All right, and clearly there's no big chunks of meat. That's what we know about the soup. So Joe goes to the saloon, probably to drink some whiskey.
Oh, sure.
Because he's got money for that, right? Oh, by the way, he mentions that the shirt was 50 cents.
Mm-hmm.
That's equivalent to $12.50, which, you know, I guess you could find a shirt for $12.50. Yeah, I mean, I guess you could buy more like $20 or something like that.
Yeah, he probably spent 50 cents on the fabric and gave it to mom to sew up there.
Yeah, good point. So here at the saloon, Joe's, we see a slightly different side of Joe, up and down.
About it anymore.
You run that hire and haul in a mighty peculiar way, Jedediah. You look right through me and you pick some bum with only a couple of years on the docks. And I'm as strong as I ever was, stronger.
Look, I told you I don't play favorites.
You were really tossing the money around in there, huh? Oh, maybe the guys who get hired stuff a few bucks in your lumberjack, huh?
Please, don't want no trouble, Joe. You!
All right, so Joe gets blown away. We're like, what?
Yeah.
How did this happen? Now, I can't say for sure. I don't know. Did you look into any of this about the revolver?
I did not.
I'm like a big weapon person. Not really. But I mean, it's one of these things that I do find kind of fascinating. I think it's really interesting. So I don't know for this for sure, but I think that it is a revolver called a Hopkins and Allen's XL number 3 revolver, which is worth about $3,700 now. On the collector's market. It's a beautiful gun, actually. And the one of the things that's so strange about this gun, I think that's really odd, you know how like a regular handgun has kind of a metal ring around it, kind of that you would put your finger into and then pull the trigger?
Exactly.
This doesn't have that. This just has kind of like a hump in the bottom, and you pull the metal against it. So you can accidentally easily... There's almost no way to really pick this thing up safely.
Oh, my gosh. Seriously, it sounds like it.
Yeah, so I'll put a link to that in the show notes. But it's kind of a cool thing, you know. It's I'm going to guess it was something like that. There weren't too many revolvers. Colt had a couple, but I would imagine a dock worker would probably need to have a weapon like this.
Yeah, especially one that's hanging around those kinds of rough saloons.
Yeah, especially with guys like Joe.
So we
get shot. We're not really sure what happens, but we kind of have an idea of what happens, right? So we're back at the apartment, and there's a knock on the door. So I'll play that a little bit. Whoops, that was the police whistle because of the gun firing. That was very true. All for Joe.
Who is it?
Police Officer Doyle.
Now he asks him a question, and I just thought it was funny how quickly she says yes. All right.
Is this your husband's wallet?
Yes.
How does she know? She didn't even look at it. Is there money in it?
I'm surprised that this guy doesn't already know. I'm sure he's probably had plenty of run-ins with Joe, and I'm sure he probably knows Edna, the mom, pretty well, too.
Yeah, I would imagine so as well. And maybe it's a good way to segue into the next little bit of the news. We see Todd kind of sneaking out of his room in his nightgown. This kid has a lot of, you know, niceties, you know, nightgowns. He's wearing slippers. A little bit of a fancy boy. No, I'm just kidding.
What's he done?
I'm sorry to be the one to have to tell you, ma'am, but he's been killed.
Oh. And we get a shot of Todd, who is grinning.
Yes, very creepy. Little 6-year-old Todd is just smiling that his dad is dead.
And I believe that, you know, it's possible he had every right to smile, being what a dick Todd, being what a dick Joe was.
Mm-hmm.
I
agree that he had the right to do that. He doesn't have to worry about being abused anymore, but it's still quite startling to see.
Yes.
It's just alarming to see this little boy just being like, good, I'm glad.
In the next shot, we're in Walnut Grove, and we get to meet Brewster.
I love him.
I like Brewster and his wife. We've never seen them before, I don't think.
Oh, no.
I don't think we ever see them again.
No, I don't think so either. And this is not going to be, like, particularly a poignant thing to say or anything, but I love all old people, and I especially love my grandparents. And mm-hmm. And they both recently passed away, but I was very close. Thank you. But I was very, very close to both of them. And so this, like, really pulled on my grandparent heartstrings. So mm-hmm. I kind of extra hate Todd for being a jerk to them. But again, I'm getting ahead of myself.
Spoilers. No, I love the fact that Edna sits in her, in like the living room with her, what is that? She's making thread? I'm not really sure what she's doing.
Yeah, I think she's taking the wool and she is
spinning it
into yarn. But that's not Edna. Edna's the mom. I believe.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry.
No worries. What? I think she's Virginia.
Oh, Virginia. Oh, we'll just call her Grandma. So
okay,
Grand, or yeah, so many different names for them. Did you call your grandparents Grandma and Grandpa? Or
yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I unfortunately never had the opportunity to really spend much time with my grandparents, but hopefully I'll be a grandparent one day. Not too soon though.
Oh my gosh, I hope not.
My wife would probably love being a grandparent like sooner than later. And I'm like, calm it down. My kid's 11.
And you know, I think sooner than later, you're going to have to deal with an angsty 17-year-old on your hands.
I have an angsty 11-year-old who's fully going through puberty right now.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
Well, he's got like a girlfriend. And and we're like setting up a date for them where it's just craziness these days. But it's like a date that's chaperoned, you know, but.
Yeah, thank you.
But, you know, with texting and everything, it's just nuts right now. All right.
I don't envy you.
No, don't. Please don't. But it's fun. So, all right, we're here. We Brewster shares that he got a letter to Charles that his grandson's coming to visit him. He's so happy about it. And he runs to share the story with his wife. And he does seem like a super nice guy. Like, he seems like your everyday great grandpa. Like, you know, he's the grandpa you want, or at least the grandpa I would want.
No, I totally agree. He totally reminded me of my grandpa. My grandpa Aww. Was just like this old kind of farmered, weathered kind of type, and who was just so like such a manly man, but at the same time just like loved his wife and loved his family and just had such a soft spot. So this, he just like, I'm telling you, this really played on my grandpa issues, and you have your dad issues. We got a lot.
I don't really have dad. I don't think I do. Maybe I do, but I definitely, your grandfather sounds like he was a really sweet guy. So, and you, both of your grandparents, I'm sure, were wonderful.
So. Yeah, he was. Thank you.
All right. But here's the scene where we're going to talk about Todd coming. And by the way, the house, I don't know this for sure. I would have to investigate a little bit more. This reminds me of the Garvey's house and their Garvey's furniture.
Oh, yeah. I'd have to pay more attention. I know they reuse houses a lot. Like the blind school Hanson's house was the hideout for the James gang. So it wouldn't surprise me, but they have some money. They had like lace curtains.
Yeah, water pump in the in the house. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, walls. They've raptors on the walls. Yeah, it's a really nice place. And I'm going to say even the table, I am not an expert at all, but the table does not seem accurate to me. The table is built in a way, there's a company called Green and Green, I think it's called, where they made these pieces of furniture without any type of seams. It's almost like a very European style. And it was very popular in maybe the 1930s, 1940s. And that table looks like a Green and Green style. But I could totally be wrong. Just I don't see any nails or anything. And it's just a little too slick. But
That's fascinating. Yeah. I didn't even notice it at all.
It's freeze framed right now and I'm looking at it. And that's why I didn't notice it before. I just noticed it now. But the other furniture does look a bit like the Garveys. But here we go.
I had a letter from Edna.
Oh? What you have to say?
Not much of anything. The boys come in here.
Boys come in here?
That's what I said.
Oh, Brewster!
Now, don't you start crying.
Oh, I can't help it. Our grandson. Mm-hmm. Oh, Len Jakes, we got to fix the room up for him. We got to make it look real special.
Now, don't go spoiling him. He's liable to want to stay with us a lot longer.
Oh, you're just as excited as I am, and you know it. Oh, look at him, Bruce. Isn't he a beautiful boy?
So, yeah, they have a different image of Todd. And we actually still have this image of Todd as the sweet, damaged little boy.
Right. The picture she's looking at is him the same exact age as we saw him when he was getting his shirt ripped. But if I could say just a tiny word about the grandma and grandpa. The grandpa, this is actually his last acting role.
Really?
Yes, he was really big even through like the 50s, 60s, 70s. Tons of acting credits, but this is his last role. They used some archival footage in like a 2017 something or other. And then the grandma, her name is Susan French, but as far as I could tell, there's no relation to Victor French.
That would have been cool. And I see that. Yeah, Timothy Weed, I think is it. What? I could have the name wrong.
Yep.
Yeah. No, that's Todd. I'm sorry. And he didn't do anything really. No, I mean, he did some stuff before.
He's a preacher now, from what I could tell.
Oh my God, really? I didn't find that out. Holy cow.
Yeah.
Now, he's 23 years old in this, too.
I know, and he's playing a 17-year-old, which is crazy, because he's like a grown man.
Yeah, he's a real schmuck. So, all right, so we have Todd coming in now, and, another thing is we didn't really get a timeline here either.
Yeah, they set it up a little later. They say he's 17 years old now, and he says later that he was 6 when his dad died. So,
He pulls up to Nellie's, which is usually the first stop when you come into Walnut Grove. And Here we go.
Train was early, Miss Olson.
They're supposed to wire me care of the post office when they're going to be way early or way late.
Mr. and Mrs. Davenport in there?
But the rooms aren't even ready yet.
I asked you a question.
What was your question?
You heard me.
If you mean Brewster and Virginia Davenport, no, they're not in there. They're such courteous people. Surely they don't know you. Come.
It's like Nellie just killing it. Like, just destroying people with words.
I know. Just her cadence of, like, what was your question? It's just so uppity. I love it.
And also how she just completely ignores him when he's asking a question. I love it. Yeah, it's a definitely wonderful, snooty Nellie here. But we don't get to see Nellie too much in this episode.
No, there is a handful of people that we only see for like a line, and then they're out. And Nellie's one of them, Eliza Jane, Almanzo, Reverend Alden. Like, all of these people are just very barely in the background. No Doc Baker. Yeah. There's like, it's an odd episode. And it is written, I noticed, by Del Reisman. And I thought, that name doesn't look familiar. So I looked him up, and he wrote 2 episodes of Little House only. And it was this one and Annabelle.
Oh, yeah. You know what? His name has actually popped up in a bunch of things. Where's the Annabelle? This actually has a little bit of that type of Annabelle feel, where it's like an outsider. And, it's kind of an extra type of cast. And it's kind of interesting. But yeah, I know his name from, he's written other things. I'm not sure why I know his name. Maybe it's from The Untouchables. But he's worked on so many different things, including Airwolf from the 80s.
Oh.
I don't know if you ever watched Airwolf.
I don't think so.
Yeah, that's not really your type. It's really nobody's type of thing.
Yeah.
No, it's not Airbud. TV show. Airwolf is about a helicopter. Mm. That was, about a military type helicopter. Wonderful what you could make movies about. I mean, what TV shows about in the 80s. So he goes up to these kids who are playing horseshoes, which is a very fun game. You don't see kids just playing randomly.
Right. And one of the kids is Albert.
Yeah. And there is no grass. They're playing in the sand. I mean, the whole town is sand right now. Holy cow. So he goes up.
Hey, you. Hey, you. Come here.
Me?
Yeah, you. An old man, an old lady named Davenport got a place around here somewhere. You know where it is?
Oh, yep. It's near the Ingalls place, which is my place on account of I'm in Ingalls.
Thanks.
Now, in all fairness, the next line is very mean, but what kind of information is Albert giving him, right? It's not really sharing too much. So
it did kind of come out of nowhere. I agree. I see where you're coming from, but we can definitely see like the bit of Joe that's in Todd.
I can see myself making a comment, not as nasty as this, but kind of like, well, what's next here? Are you done? Like, you know, or are you going to continue? Are you hiccuping? So, so here we go.
I got to be going. I'll see you tomorrow, right?
Hey, I've been hearing about small towns. They got what they call a village idiot in them. Are you the village idiot?
I don't think so.
Well, you could have fooled me. Now, why don't you tell me where the Davenport place is, huh?
It's hilarious.
I know, and sweet little Albert doesn't even say no. He just says, I don't think so.
I don't think so. No, well, nobody said that to me until up to now, so maybe.
Poor guy.
Yeah. I'm not really that mean to people, but I mean.
To children.
I don't know. Maybe. No, I'm really not. So he gets to his grandparents' house. These two could not be happier. You know, there's like the house probably smells of pie and, you know, like they've been talking for days about how excited they are. And it's just wonderful. This is the best thing to happen to these two in years.
Yeah, they are definitely going to be rolling out the red carpet for their grandson.
And here he is.
Todd! Is that you? Oh, Todd!
Todd, we were just leaving to go pick you up.
We got here early.
Let me look at you. Yeah. A little bit of Edna, a little bit of Joe, a little bit of me, eh, Virginia?
Todd, you growed up beautiful. I knew you would.
Your grandma and me's been trying to get you and your ma out of the city ever since your dad passed on. And well, here you are. Yeah, here you are.
I guess when you finished your schooling, your mom said, all right, now it's time to breathe that country air.
I didn't finish school.
But the letter said...
Edna just wanted to get rid of me.
Called your mom Edna.
I could use some groceries.
Yeah, oh, you must be starving.
So one of the things that you can't really tell unless you're watching it is that when grandmother embraced him, he kind of just gave this, like, push away. Thing.
Yeah, he kind of like roughly pulls her away from him, like almost shoving her, and she gives a look like that's the first red flag here.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. He does say that he's just tired,
mm-hmm.
which I guess he can be a little grumpy, but that was a little bit real grumpy.
Yeah, he's kind of rude to the grandma, and our wonderful grandpa's like, you know, she's just really, really excited to see you. And he's like, I know, I'm sorry. It's just been a long trip.
Now, whenever there's any type of thing like this happening in Walnut Grove, there's usually what I refer to as the Ingalls shit-talking.
100%. There's gossiping about their neighbors, like, mainly.
Right in front of, like, children. Like, this isn't even just Ma and Pa.
Oh, the child is the main one doing the shit-talking. Right.
But you have Gracie there listening, Carrie, you know, and here we go.
I've got friendlies going around, I'll tell you that. Staring right at me.
I gotta remember, Albert, he's new here. Kind of on the outside looking in.
Well, so was I when I first came.
I know that. Weren't you a little uncomfortable with us the first few weeks?
Uncomfortable ain't me.
Ma?
Village idiot.
What?
By the way, all right, so this is a little bit more of a grown-up Laura in this episode. I do want to
point.
With new dresses.
God. New dresses, her hair's down with the beautiful new ribbon in it. She definitely looks more womanly, like in her face shape and everything. I thought she was just absolutely beautiful in that pink dress.
I think she looks very, very beautiful in this. And mm-hmm. she's really starting to blossom as a young girl. And mm-hmm. I would even say, go as far as to say she might even be wearing a little makeup in this. That wouldn't, of course, not be accurate for the time period.
Interesting.
But it just looks like maybe there's mascara or something. Or eyeliner or something. Her face just seems more defined.
Totally. There was definitely some groomed eyebrows and, you know, the phantom orthodontist had already visited Walnut Grove.
So. I don't even want to think about how painful it must have been for her to get those teeth shifted so quickly.
In between seasons. Yes. I know. Ridiculous.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, they're just kind of going on.
We walked over to the Davenports and paid them a call like you do the neighbors and invited them to dinner tomorrow night.
Well, still be me.
Well, it's too soon. He hasn't even had a chance to be with his grandparents yet.
Your mother's right. Give the boy some time. He'll come around.
It'll take a miracle.
If anybody can perform a miracle, it's the Davenports.
Now, Albert, I think, is very astute in his sense of this person.
Yeah, he's definitely had the most interaction with them. I mean, they got off on a horrible foot, so...
And you see, it's funny, because when he finally did bring Todd to the farm, he just runs off.
Yeah. He just like, points him in the direction, then just hightails it.
Yeah, like gives him the finger and runs. I definitely thought there would be more going on with all of that. I don't know. I thought that he was going to become a bully or something.
I could see that. And Albert is so tiny. Like, he's just a small boy that he could easily, I could see there being a bullying situation with Todd, a 24-year-old actor, grown man, like, confronting little tiny Matthew Labrador.
Yeah, exactly. So one of the things that people just shouldn't do is wake up a 17-year-old the butt crack of dawn. Although it's their way, you know, and... Grandpa's really excited to have fun with Todd, I guess. He just goes into the room and he's being loud and all types of stuff.
So. And he's got to get to work. I mean, he's not living here for free. He's got to do some work on the farm.
Well, it's been 12 hours. So. But yeah, I mean, it's really kind of like up and at him.
Morning is at 5. Here we get
another thing. They have hand towels on the wall. Did you notice this? They have the basin to wash your hands and to clean up. They have really nice furniture and photographs everywhere. More photographs than in the entire town.
And this is like a legitimate upstairs. This isn't like a loft. This is like we went upstairs through a hallway. Like they are doing just fine.
And their door is a very nice door. And their door handle, I'm looking at it, they're very similar to the door handles in my house, because which are the original door handles from 1925. And we just restored the ones, I just restored the ones that were on our bedroom, but they're nickel plated and somebody painted over them at some point. So I removed the paint and they're not cheap probably back then. They're not just, you know, it's not, you know, in the Ingalls house, it's probably just a piece of rope and, you know, a piece of wood to shimmy in between it so it doesn't open. Actually, they don't really have doors.
Yeah, exactly. The only doorknob is like that white little doorknob. Yeah. That's the only thing. There's no other door that I could think of in that whole house.
Aw. Well, Laura gets doors when she gets older.
Yes.
And walls. But yeah, this is a lovely, it seems like it's a lovely home. He's got a nice bed, nice bedspread, nice quilt that I would wonder if you'd be able to make one day.
I totally was watching every single quilt.
Really? Like, are you a nerd now? You're a quilt nerd.
Well, ever since I started watching Little House, I've had just crazy quilt envy. And I'm like, I want to make a quilt so bad. So I started finally making quilts, as you know, like maybe 2 weeks ago. And I've just been making quilts ever since. I have 8 done.
Oh my God, 8 in 2 weeks?
I have 8. I have been like singularly focused on making these quilts because I want to make one for every week of the year this year. So yeah, I did 8 of them done and I have 2 of them that I'm like in the process of working on the tops right
now. My God. Are you using a machine though?
Yeah, I am. All right, my New Year's resolution was to learn how to use the sewing machine because I've only ever hand sewed before.
You know, it's funny because I would love to learn how to use one just to know. And it's just, I mean, I just don't have the patience to learn this machine that feels like it would cut my finger off.
I mean, I've tried for a decade. I've sat down in front of sewing machines. It just never clicked with me. But this time I'm off and running.
Yeah, you needed to learn for yourself. So
yeah,
that's awesome. I think that's such an amazing, genuine skill that you've taught yourself. And it's also a great time to learn something like that. You can probably go to YouTube if you do have a question and see somebody giving like a halfway decent to, or actually 600 different ways of doing the same thing.
Exactly.
That's tough too.
But what a time to be alive. It's so cool.
Yes. But I think it's so cool that you're doing that. That's really great.
Yeah.
He's going to go and wake him up. It's just not something you should do, I think.
Up with the roosters. A farmer's life is full of strife. Now what I'd give me for a muscular wife. I'm a poet and don't know it. Come on, boy, come on. Oh, no, you don't. Get up, get up, get up.
I'm going to tickle you out of bed. That would have been great if you, like, started tickling him.
Yeah, he's just so cute and so sweet, and Todd just gets him, shoves him down. Grandpa almost hits his head on the dresser, and Todd looked like he was about to hop on him and go in for seconds.
But yeah, Todd Grandma, looks like he's about to, like, start wailing.
Yeah, like, curb stomp this poor old man, but, you know, luckily Grandma comes up and kind of diffuses the situation a little bit.
Yeah. That's the music.
What happened?
It's all right. It was an accident.
What was? What happened?
Oh, nothing, nothing. Let's go get breakfast. We'll wait for you.
Todd looks a little bit like David Cassidy, or at least his hair.
Interesting. Yeah, I thought baby Todd kind of gave me Albert vibes, and I couldn't quite place who adult Todd was, but I was not hating it. I thought he was very handsome.
Yeah, he's a good looking guy. But yeah, he definitely looks like David Cassidy from the Partridge Family era. I think, and I'm just waiting for him to break out in song.
Like a darker Partridge Family, like darker skinned, haired, eyed. But it's interesting that you say that, because the guy who played Little Todd, the little kid, mm-hmm. was in a dozen Partridge Family episodes.
What? That's crazy.
Interesting.
Small world.
Mm-hmm.
Little Todd. Little T.
On the prairie.
So yeah, he's doing this thing where they're in denial that the guy's kind of a prick, and they're doing what I think amazing grandparents would do, and that's accept him and make excuses for him until it gets, honestly, it's so horrible that that this jerk is like taking advantage of them like that. There's a lot of back and forth. I mean, Grandpa goes and buys him a razor at the Olsen Mercantile.
Well, right before that, we see Charles is already in the mercantile, and he is getting a pocket watch back from Nels, which was Charles's father's, and Nels had it sent away to some like repairman or something to get it all nice and spruced up and working like new.
Yeah, and we've seen this watch before, right? Wasn't it a part of an episode?
Oh, I don't remember.
I'd have to look into that. I could be wrong. Maybe it comes up again later.
Well, something very cool that I found on this wonderful world of the internet, like we were talking about earlier, was that I was able to completely download the 1897 Sears Roebuck catalog.
Oh, really?
It's so cool. Oh, my gosh.
Can you send me a link to that later?
I will. That's awesome. It is like 700 pages. It is amazing. I actually ordered a hard copy off eBay because I'm like, that's just fun to leaf through. Like, I just want to read it. But I found an inscribed gold-plated pocket watch on there because I was like, how much are we talking? And how much is this watch?
And is it legitimately gold? Or
it's gold-plated. I don't know.
Okay.
But it's looked very similar to Charles. It was engraved, and it was for $4.75, which in today's money would be about $122.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's nothing too crazy, but I will send you a link because I just think that's so cool.
Yeah, you know, I love the fact that people are scanning catalogs. Like, I've come across like 1960s and 70s toy catalogs, which mm-hmm. I think those are fun and everything. But I really think that these Sears catalogs, it's just so important to really preserve them. It's, but yeah, I would definitely love to look through that and see how much, I don't know, how much is a wagon, but I don't know. What did they sell in Syria? You know, I wonder how far they went, you know?
I'm pretty sure they have like cars and not car. I mean, obviously not in the 1800s, but I'm pretty sure Sears did everything under the sun. But like I said, 700 pages. So I'm sure there's probably wagons and stuff.
Well, you know, Sears sold houses, you know, like you were able to buy a house kit. And this is not a joke. I'm not, you know, it sounds like something I would make up. But there are many houses, especially here on Long Island, throughout the East Coast. I don't know. I think also throughout the entire country. And you could buy a Sears house, and it would be literally a kit that they would deliver to you, and you would hire somebody to put it together. And it's a very, very common-looking house. Like, you definitely have seen these houses. I'll dig that up. I think, I want to say that it was in the 30s or even the 20s.
Oh, that's awesome. I had no idea.
Yeah, isn't that weird? But yeah, you could find these different houses. And I'm kind of hoping now that I'm talking about it out loud, if somebody's listening and they could look, because I know I'll forget, if there's a documentary about them. Because I would love to see an original one, like in its like preserved in the original style. Not just, you know, I would imagine that somebody would keep one the way it was.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Awesome.
All right, so he buys him a razor to slice his own throat.
No, but shave.
Todd needs a shave, and so Todd comes down, and here he is.
Grandpa, got myself a good shave. Thanks.
Good.
Now, this is the halfway decent Todd for just a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Where we're like, oh, you know what? Maybe he got a good night's sleep, he got a good shave, and had a muffin.
Maybe he's not a morning person.
Right, right. It's nighttime. And Grandma's there. She's just spinning her yarn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just really, really nice. And here we go.
You know, on a farm, there's no time at all first thing in the morning. Animals are waiting. Crops are waiting. So, you take your time and do a good clean job at night. Say, Todd, now that you're feeling slick and handsome, how about going to church with us tomorrow, right after chores?
I don't go to church.
There's a picnic afterwards by the creek.
I don't go to church.
Todd.
I don't want you treating me like a child. If I say something, I expect you to believe it and let it be. God didn't make it around in my neighborhood, so I never made his acquaintance.
God's everywhere.
He's in that dump of an apartment I lived in. He sure was quiet. Is it all right if I meet you at the picnic afterwards?
Of course.
That'd be fine, Todd.
It's just crazy. Bipolar? I don't. It's not really bipolar. It's just kind of, the guy's super moody.
Yeah, he is. And, you know, he's just so bitter. And he's got these issues with his dad. And he's got an angry heart.
He has an angry heart. So here we are at the picnic. We get a little bit of a jab from Almanzo, which I thought was kind of, what? This is so strange, just to throw that in out of nowhere.
Just a little patronizing. So they're having like a three-legged race, and Almanzo's with his little flavor of the week, and they win.
Who's this girl?
Never seen her before. Even Eliza Jane goes, oh, you. Like, she doesn't even know her name. And Sid and Laura and Albert fall, their partners, and he just kind of pats her on the head and is like, it's okay. Like, little girl, you'll do better next time, and that hurts.
And she is dressed up. Like, she's ready for a cotillion.
She is so beautiful. She's got that fancy bow. Her hair is down in a half pony. She's got the bow. She's got a brand new dress we've never seen before. She just looks like a little lady.
And we never see it again. There are a number of dresses in this episode that I don't recall seeing again. And even the shirts that Todd is wearing, I just think they seem so modern. At the end, he's wearing a red kind of maroon shirt with dots.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought it was, you just don't see these things. It's mostly like flannel or pink.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. So, here we go.
Okay, here we go. Nice try, Beth.
He pats her head. It's like, the kill me now. Do you not see these apples in my shirt, you know?
I know. It really, honestly, it hurts. It's like, oh, she just wants him so bad. And he's just like, oh, look at this little girl.
Now, this is something that's a rarity as well, because we're in front of the little house having a picnic with all of the church people.
I have a lot to say about this, as a matter of fact.
Good, because it's not a common experience, not a common occurrence.
No, it's not. And the real Ingalls family, the actual true Ingalls family, would never have gone for this in a million years.
Really?
Yes. They were on Sunday. You sat there. You did not talk. You did not work. You did not have fun. It was the day to be solemn and think of the Lord. You could not smile. You could not be loud. Like, it was such a strict household, just according to the books, of like,
yeah,
we do not work on Sunday. We do not have joy on Sunday. We read our Bible studies on Sunday. Like, that is it.
Right. We're not, I mean, because a lot of people don't even realize this is, you know, when something like this is happening, I mean, who's running around and cooking all the food and all this kind of stuff? You know, if you're a very religious person, these Sabbaths are very sacred, you know, like in the Orthodox Jewish community, you're not supposed to do anything.
You can't even tie a shoe.
I don't know if you could. I don't know about the tie shoeing. That's a good one. Oh. I know you can't use an umbrella, which I've always kind of questioned. Well, I question all of it because I'm not Orthodox, but it is very restrictive, but it's supposed to be for your own good. For me, it creates agita. So,
yeah, stress. And I totally agree. I like my Sundays being pretty chill myself.
Yeah. But
another thing I'm going to say is that she is eating a Granny Smith apple. And I just thought that was kind of odd. So I looked it up, and the Granny Smith apples didn't even originate until 1868. And that was in Australia.
What the hell's going on here now?
I know. You'd think it would be like a big deal that they had Granny Smith apples, but you know, I'm sure that was just a 1979 thing.
You have a whole bushel of them, probably.
Mm-hmm. There is a whole bushel when we see in the cellar in the sod house later. There's a whole bushel of green apples.
And Todd just helps himself
to one bite and then leaves it alone. How wasteful!
He's that tired though.
Mm-hmm.
So Laura thinks she's going to be nice, and I was thinking, you know, I don't remember this episode very well, but I was thinking it's possible, was she going to become like, you know, the crush, or who knows what was going to happen here? Because it's really kind of setting you up for that. She's dressed up nicely. It would be very easy for him to see her and approach that type of direction in the story. But we don't really go that way. But she does try to be nice. And
she is talking about, like, I like to think about who I'm going to marry. Like, it could totally go that way.
Yeah, right? It's strange. Yeah.
Are you sleeping?
Not anymore.
Hi. I'm Charles Ingalls' daughter. Well, one of them. Laura. We're neighbors.
Laura. She's totally flirting with him.
Yeah, I think she might be. And she is wearing her Sunday best. And, you know, she just kind of got digged by Almanza. So she's like, maybe I'll go find a man closer to my own age.
Yeah, exactly. It's 20.
So we're neighbors.
Yeah. Was it exciting living in Chicago?
I don't know. I work in the docks.
Oh. Well, didn't you go to school?
They don't pay you to go to school.
You don't like to talk about yourself very much, do you?
I ain't got nothing to say. Besides, I like being alone.
So do I. Sometimes. I like to sit and think about who I am and who I'm going to be, if maybe someday I'm going to get married and have children. Don't you like to think about who you are and who you're going to be?
Yeah, I think I'm thirsty. I'm going to get some more lemonade.
That's a perfectly ripe apple as well. So I guess we had to bring him to the little house in order for the next scene to happen.
Yeah.
They could have come up with 100 different ways to do this. So I just think the picnic thing is kind of strange. But nonetheless, we get to, you know, get our favorite characters in cameos for the episode.
Exactly.
For the end of the year episode, huh? So, yeah, and I guess it's like, you gotta show up and get paid. You gotta do a three-legged race today. What a great job, right?
Hey, you know, I know that I'm thinking, I don't remember seeing any of the Olsen kids at the picnic. That's kind of weird.
You know, if you do look in the background of, where was it? When, I'm going to go back just for a second. I could swear, you can see Willie in the background Laura. I think it's him. I'm pretty sure it's him, but can't say for sure. But it does look like Nellie's sitting down. And
yeah,
might be Harriet standing. Can't say for sure, but I think that's the case.
Well, I stand corrected.
Well, I don't know. Maybe. I have to look at the higher quality version. And now that you have an HDTV, or a new HDTV, you can also look at it in detail.
I have to say, like, it is so beautiful. We just inherited a TV that was just like a hand-me-down TV. And oh my gosh, I didn't think it would be that big of a difference from like 1970s, you know, television work. But wow, it's so beautiful and sharp and crisp. And it's crazy.
The one thing I will say, are you watching it on Amazon Prime?
I am.
Now, Amazon Prime's copies are halfway decent. They're good. They're good prints. The Vudu actually has a better quality print.
Oh.
And those go on sale for like maybe $20 or $30 a couple times a year. And you can actually, but here's the thing. If you stream it with Vudu, it looks almost identical to Prime. If you download it, it looks a lot better. But each episode is a pretty big download. So when you're downloading 10 seasons of something, it takes up, I think, like 35 gigabytes or probably more. But, you know, it's just kind of interesting when you're getting something that is uncompressed, how amazing it looks. But HD in general just looks really great when it's done correctly. But the Prime thing, it's very strange to me. But it is better looking than television. Television. Definitely. It looks like it's taped on like duct tape or something. It looks awful. So we see Todd go into the house and kind of snoop around a little bit. He's going in for a little lemonade.
Yeah, but he's definitely peeking around.
Yeah. We also see some, you know, he's using a lemonade glass. I've never seen these glasses before. This is very strange. I am keeping an eye on the mantle, and it's still the same mantle.
Oh, definitely. So the same mantle, but that watch is just like beautifully dangling off of it.
Oh yeah. It's like glistening. Why wouldn't he have it on him, showing it to everyone?
Yeah, that's a great point.
Here's my watch. Well, you want to know what time it is? No, Charles. No, I know what time it is. Thanks. I can tell you. It works perfect. You know, it's one of those guys. So... Want to look at my chest again? So, and you'd be right there going, yes.
Don't mind if I do.
Don't mind if I do. Actually, if you look really closely at the grandparents' house, they actually have a little photograph of his chest hanging on the wall. It's very fancy. Very fancy. So, that Charles, so nice, that man. All right. So he grabs the watch. He snatches the watch, which is dangling there. And it's the worst. You know, it's like to have something stolen. You know, I'm sure some stuff has been stolen from you in life. And it's the worst. It's the worst. And that's what happens. And here we are. This is the realization that it's missing.
Where's your watch?
It's up on the mantel.
No, it isn't.
Sure it is. I left it right here by the tobacco pouch. Positive I left it here. Albert?
Yes, sir?
You seen my watch?
No, Pop.
You sure, son?
Yes, sir.
I haven't seen it either, Pop.
Maybe Carrie wanted to look at it.
No, she wouldn't be tall enough to reach up here.
Hope she doesn't drop it in the wall. That's the last thing we need. God knows where that thing ends.
Charles, this afternoon, didn't we see Todd come in here?
Yeah, we saw Todd come in, but there are a lot of other people here we might not have seen.
It'd be great if you hear Albert go, I think he took it. He was really mean to me, Pa.
Who's the idiot now?
Well, can't imagine that one of our friends took it.
Neither can I.
Neither can I. So, this is... All right, this is one of those things where it's getting to the point where Todd is the worst. Not, I mean, he's already the worst, right?
Oh, definitely.
But let's just double up on that. The old man comes out being a little bit of, he has a little bit of a tone in his voice even, because I think even he's starting to get a little tired of Todd's crap.
Well, Todd's probably supposed to be working, and instead of working on the farm, he's hitching up Grandpa's wagon to go to Mankato to go gambling for the weekend. And Grandpa's like, I need that because I'm going to town. And he's like, get off me, old man.
Right. Stop and, whining.
Right. Quit your whining, which is what his dad actually, which is what Todd's dad says to him earlier. Quit your whining. But so he, Grandpa also notices that he has a brand new pocket watch at this time.
Yeah.
Hey, Todd, where are you going?
I'm going to take a run over to Mankato.
Well, you'll have to do it some other time. I need the rig to go town, pick up some supplies.
Stop your whining.
Hey, where'd you get the watch?
I gotta go.
Todd, I asked you a question.
Don't put your hands on me.
That's my wagon, and it's gonna stay put.
Oh. Elder abuse.
Definitely. He just pops them right in the mouth.
Yeah, he really clocked him. And then just... I thought there was more dialogue. And he just took the wagon.
Yep. Yep, took the wagon.
Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, it really is. And just leaves Grandpa to like bleed out on in the sand. It's horrible.
I just hope I'm never in a situation where I'm being treated this poorly by my grandchildren.
Oh my God, I know. It's the scary worst. To think about. It is, yeah.
But even all of this happens, all of this terrible stuff happens, but Brewster is still not convinced that it's that bad. Mm-hmm. Here we are.
That boy. Edna must have known he was capable of this.
He's back. He's going to apologize. You'll see, he's going to apologize.
And what good would that do anyway? It's all right, boy.
He's just seeing the error of his ways. Grandpa has such rose-colored glasses. But Edna, I have big problems with, because she completely lied to her parents about this boy. She said that he graduated high school. He did not. Mm-hmm. She said he'll be like a big help. He doesn't have any rage issues at all. I mean, you know, she didn't say that, but she didn't fully let them know what
didn't
they were getting
say the kid
into.
Is complete. You know, dick.
Yeah, I can't handle him anymore. He's getting out of control. So they're like, our sweet grandbaby. And they have just a monster come in their house, abuse them, steal from their friends. It's horrible.
Well, can we at least assume that it's possible that Edna didn't continue to raise him very well? Like, it was really kind of, maybe she just kind of neglected to correct him ever.
I'm sure. And, you know, he's working on the docks as a kid. And I'm sure I picture her working as like a saloon girl now to like pay the bills now that Joe's died. But still, like, give your really very old parents a heads up of what they're getting.
You know, this would have been a good opportunity to bring Edna back when they do go to Mankato.
Yeah, but we never see her ever again.
No. Oh, Edna.
It's Charles Ingalls.
Charles, you mustn't see what the boy did.
And he's got a big swollen fat lip.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, poor guy. gonna be on the mend.
Hello, Charles.
Good morning, Virginia. Is Brewster in?
No, no, he's not.
Could I come in for a minute?
Certainly. Something wrong?
Well, I'm not sure. I tossed and turned about this whole thing last night trying to figure out a way to mention it to you.
What is it?
My father left me a watch, a little timepiece. I kept it on the mantle.
Seen it. Beautiful.
Well, I went to look for it last night, and it was gone. Now, I'm not accusing anyone. Did you see Todd go in the house yesterday?
Yes, he was talking to Laura.
I just want to ask the boy if he's seen it. I hope you understand.
Charles?
Brewster, what happened to you?
Todd hit him.
The boy took your watch, Charles.
You didn't want you to see him like this. He didn't want you to know.
Virginia, please.
The swelling will go away. But the stealing won't. Stealing's a crime. A crime.
The boy has this awful thing deep down inside. Edna must have known. She must have been afraid of him. A woman feared of her own son.
Where's the boy now?
On the way to Mankato.
So Charles does what Charles does.
Yep, he's going to go kick butt and take names.
Well, we get to see a very different Charles in this, which I really like this Charles.
I would argue to say it's not even that different. Like, Charles obviously has his, like, soft family man side. He's a hard worker. He's a good neighbor. But there are many times, like, with the Gallander boys and, you know, a bunch where he just comes in and is like, all right, whose butt do I have to kick? And I love that kind of Charles where he's like, no, we are not playing around. Like, you know, maybe you didn't have any rules growing up, but you're going to have rules. You right. know, there's rules in life.
I'm going to bring it to the Charles Ingalls rehab.
Yeah, exactly. Charles Ingalls School of Hard Knocks.
For this scene, he even unbuttoned one extra button on his shirt.
Don't think that escaped my notice. I know. It was crazy. His chest, we were talking about this beforehand. His chest was so oiled up and glistening that I couldn't even focus. I was like a moth to a flame. I didn't know what was happening. I just pictured them rubbing like cocoa butter on him beforehand.
You know what's kind of funny is, like, you know that he had to have worn gold chains in the 70s and 80s, right?
Oh, no doubt.
I can just picture it. It's, well, you know, that was the style, and he really enjoyed doing that. He enjoyed this look that he had, and I think that's great. I think.
But you got it, flaunt it.
He walks into a saloon, which is a really nice set, actually. It's kind of like right out of some type of, well, really any Western. They just must have had this set up already, right?
I think it's the same one where they're in Mankato and they're setting off the fireworks inside the bar, because the upstairs area was very similar to that.
You think they would build these things and just leave them there? I mean, they just, I guess, didn't need the space.
Yeah, I mean, in my world where, like, El Hop is just so perfect, yes, they just built it for that. But I'm sure it was for other things. I'm sure a lot were, like, bonanza leftovers and stuff. But I was also enthralled with the scenery. The girls were not in usual saloon girl attire. They were kind of, like, in bloomers and a tank top.
Yeah, this was, like, a real, this is more of a dank saloon.
Yeah, and Todd is playing some kind of cards with Mr. Monopoly.
And we see people smoking more than normal.
Well, it's Mankato. It's the crazy city.
And the music is kind of crazy. But he walks right up to Todd. He sees him playing some cards. Mm-hmm. And the guy's drinking. He's like a big bottle of something on the table, right? It's the most not filtered looking thing I've ever seen in my life. It's almost like, you know what? As a prop, let's just use mud water.
Oh, God, the spittoon.
Yeah. Oh, I can't even think about spittoons. Like, some people are like, oh, I'd buy a spittoon and restore it. It's like, you know what? No.
No. That's like using a bedpan and restoring it.
Yeah, exactly. I don't care. I don't care how much decorative whatever is on it.
I want to talk to you.
Later.
The men are looking at Charles and the boy and kind of like, yeah. Is that Charles Ingalls?
You know, like I know. They're looking at Todd like, oh, I'd answer him if I was you.
It's Charles Ingalls, boy.
Don't you know? Yeah.
I'm usually a pretty calm man, Todd, but right now I'm working up a big anger. I want to talk to you now. Where's my watch? Do yourself a favor and answer me.
Everybody has blue eyes, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Except for Todd.
I just swapped it with this man for some cash.
Swap it back to him. No.
Sorry, you're $10 short.
How much do you think you got for that watch?
I was wondering the same thing because according to that catalog, it was only worth $475. And he's been gambling a while, so I don't know, $50 for that watch?
$50 in that money?
I'm guessing so because he hands him back like a fistful of cash and he still says you're $10 short. So, I mean, I don't know, $25, something outrageous.
I mean, it's just each dollar is worth about $25, I think.
Right.
So, I mean, if it's $10, it's $250.
No, yeah. And that's how much he was short for it.
I mean, it must have been made of solid gold that weighed like a pound.
I know, exactly. It obviously is like sentimental to Charles, but I don't think it's sentimental to that guy.
And he's short $5. Charles pulls out Mary's tuition money.
I know. No, he's short $10.
Yeah, he's short $10.
Yeah, he's short $10, but is Charles just happens to be like rolling around with that in his
with
pocket.
Two fives.
Yeah.
It's like, what? That's just crazy. Like, I didn't know they had ATMs that dispensed fives. It's like when you go to Vegas, all the ATMs dispense 100s.
Oh.
Yeah, that's, I don't trust any place that dispenses $100 bills.
No, they're trying to take it from you.
Yeah.
Thank you. And the watch.
So, yeah, Charles pays the $10. And I'm kind of impressed that Todd would fess up so quickly.
Yeah, but he did it under the threat of violence because he wasn't fessing up at all. And then he was like, you know, do yourself a favor and answer me.
He says, you're going to work it off. You're going to come to my farm. You're going to work.
Boy. Well, you're either going to work it off or you're going to go to jail.
So I don't really, he basically gives him both choices, but then brings him to the jail to give him like to stay overnight.
Yeah. It's first scared straight program.
Yeah, exactly. And, this is the first little bit of Todd guilt.
I'll be back sometime tomorrow.
Good enough, Mr. Ingalls.
Be sure he gets a good night's sleep.
I'll do that.
Hey, Ingalls! Thought you were supposed to be my grandparents' friend.
A lot better friend to him than you are, boy.
That's a cold, cold man.
You know, the Ingalls will not insult often, but when they do, they will cut you to the quick.
Right. I mean, when you're talking about money, come on.
Yeah, you don't mess around with that. And, like, I was curious. I was like, you know, if I'm a tough, you know, puffed out my chest kind of guy and I don't really want to work for this jerk, Charles, I'm thinking, you know, how much jail time are we looking at? There was some obvious overcrowding in that jail, but I was able to find actual records of kids who were arrested for thieving in the 1800s. And for stealing any amount of cash, kids as young as 15 years old were sentenced to 7 years of hard labor in jail. Wow. Yeah, so, you know, working it off for 2 weeks on the Ingalls farm doesn't seem like that bad of an option after 7 years.
Not to mention the amount of time that he would have to wait for a judge to even come to town to try the case.
Exactly. And they did stuff so fast and loose. Like, Charles says, you know, Charles puts him in jail. He stays in jail overnight. And then he says, you know, so are you going to stay here or are you going to come work? And I'll drop the complaint. I'm pretty sure it doesn't work that way. Like, at least nowadays, once you've made the initial complaint, then it's in the state's hands. It's not in your hands anymore.
Yeah, but I think back then it would have been this loose.
Yeah, maybe. That's true. And like I said, that jail was very crowded. I'm sure they didn't even need him in there.
Yeah, I think it was like one of those, like, I want to give the boy a scare.
Yeah, exactly. And he's even like, make sure he gets a good night's sleep. And the sheriff's like, you got it.
And the sheriff is like, of course, Charles Ingalls. Of course, you're a well-respected man in Mankato. Yeah, everybody knows you.
Unbutton one more button.
right. And he does. Actually, Charles is possibly wearing a different shirt the next day. He even brought luggage with him. Charles is going to go have a steak.
Well, Charles goes all the way back home to Walnut Grove. It's a 40-mile trip, which would be 2 days round, you know, each way. And he goes 40 miles each way there in one day. But he's talking to Lance and Brewster and Virginia around the dinner table that very night. So,
yeah, and he's basically saying, you know, this is what I want to do. I want him to work it off. And they seem fine with it. The grandmother is like, I don't want him coming back. I'm afraid of him. And yeah, she's every right.
He's not afraid to hit old people, so he's scary.
It's like, this is the worst than the bullies.
Mm-hmm.
Charles goes back and tries to make a deal.
All right, Todd, this is my second and last visit. You still have a choice. Come back to my place, work off the debt for me, and I'll drop the charges. Otherwise, you stay here. What'll it be? I'll work.
What a mensch. I'll work. Yeah, it seems like the kind of guy you're going to get a lot of stuff out of. So on the ride back, Todd has a few questions, and we start seeing a lot of serious daddy issues come up.
Oh, yes.
What kind of work you got in mind?
Farm work. Don't worry, hard work's not going to kill you.
How long I got to work for you?
You paid back the money I owed on the watch.
Well, how much do I get a day?
I don't pay by the day. I pay what I think the job's worth.
Oh, you make all the rules, don't you? You sound like my pa. He made all the rules till that night.
Look, Todd. Sorry about what happened to your father. I know it was hard on you. That was a long time ago. Don't try using that on me now for sympathy.
But I ain't asking you for sympathy.
It wasn't hard on me. My pa hadn't died. When he did, I'd have killed him myself. Except I was only 6. Well, you think that's pretty awful, huh? When my pa hit me with his fist, not once or twice, but a lot of times, I wished him dead over and over and over.
Wow.
Finally, some fella on the docks up and shot him. I wish I could find that fella to thank him.
Charles is just like, how dare you say that? That's the worst thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, Charles is like, oh my God, like I knew you were bad. I didn't think you were this bad.
Yeah, so Charles is, he hopes he's doing the right thing. Todd continues having hissy fits, right?
Yep, and we're going to get a good old-fashioned Charles working the evil out of people on the farm montage.
No. There was one scene where it looks like he's there's a small hole and he's tamping it, right?
Right.
What do you know what he's doing? I mean, you live more based on a farm. Not really. I'm just kidding.
No, I kind of. I mean, we're pretty rural out here. Yeah. No, I have no idea what he was doing. Pretty much every other scene, I got the gist. But I wouldn't be surprised if Charles was like, now you're going to dig a hole just to dig a hole and get tired. You
you're going to dig a hole without a shovel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just like, what is he doing? Like, it's kind of, when I first saw it, I'm like, all right, is this some type of, I forget what those grabby things are that you use to put down posts, but it's not. And they've actually used those tools on the show, so I know they exist.
Like existed. A post hole digger?
Yeah, that's exactly it. An auger, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Or sort of, maybe not an auger. Auger's different. But
like a drill.
Yeah, something like that. But anyway, yeah, he's just kind of hitting on, you know, tamping down dirt for some reason. Yeah, I mean, Todd doesn't know any better, so he's just like, all right, just take this stick and until you get a blister. So he's going to basically, I mean, there's one thing that we learn on Little House on the Prairie, that work can heal most things.
Oh, yeah. That's like Charles's whole life motto. And he says to Caroline at one point, my pa always said, good hard work on the land sweats the poison out of your system. And I just feel like that's Charles' life motto.
Hmm. I think so, too. I mean, this returns over and over again. We see it cure alcoholism. We see it cure.
see it cure concussions in The Fighter.
He cures concussions. I think that's just time.
Well, he was working him pretty hard.
Yeah.
You know, it cures a lot of things. It cures alcoholism and child abuse and, you know, wayward teens.
Right. But he does come back. Todd comes back and he's really tired. Play some of that.
As soon as I finish unhitching the team, we can have some supper.
I think I'll just turn in.
We're having chicken pot pie.
Awful good. I'm too tired to chew.
Make sure you get a good night's sleep. It's a big day tomorrow.
What the heck do we have today?
And, you know, he kind of waddles into the barn. He has that achy body thing going on.
And Charles is just laughing and laughing.
Right. And it's like, city boy. And Todd lies down on his bed, and he really has this face of being maybe even content with himself.
Yeah, I think he's proud.
But we really don't see any real evidence of that. It's just the weird scene.
I mean, he was even being kind of cutesy with Charles there when he was saying, like, when Charles said, you know, we have a big day tomorrow, he said, what the heck did you call today? And they're smiling. And so that's kind of like the good Todd's coming back out.
If he ever existed.
It's the same Todd that shaved when Grandpa gave him all his shaving.
That's true. Yeah. I call him 15 second Todd.
Yeah.
We need to extend that. So Grandpa comes around and he's saying, you know, how's Todd doing? It's been 2 weeks. You know, you know, I guess let's count just weekdays here. 10 days of working him hard. And Charles gives him the update. Everything seems to be pretty okay. And Grandpa's still a little bit afraid. He's like, oh, I'm just glad I'm not running into him. Don't tell him I was here.
Yeah, I don't want him to think I'm asking for him. Because, like, Todd has a big thing with, like, I'm not a baby. I'm the man of my household. If I say something, it goes. So I think he's like, you know, don't let him know we're kind of worried about him.
Yeah. And Todd is working really hard. So,
yeah.
But he's still a grump. 2 weeks in, he's still kind of, I don't know, a habit.
He's still angry, and now he just has back pain on top of it.
Yeah, so. And blisters.
Yeah, exactly. But he's chopping some firewood for the Olsons.
Yeah, so here's that scene.
Hey, good job, Todd. I didn't figure I'd have half of this finished by now.
I'm working fast to pay you off and be done with it.
When you're done here, you're done with it.
You mean it?
Sure, I mean it. You worked off your debt to me. I'll put it in writing. What are you going to do after you finish?
Hop a train. Go to California, maybe.
What about your grandparents?
They don't want me around.
Who would, the way you were acting?
I know. I ain't blaming them. I just like it better by myself, that's all.
It's not so bad being around folks that care about you.
Nobody cares. Not really.
Your grandparents do. So do I.
That is overreach. But it's a little
much. Well, he's kind of like, I love you too, Dad.
Like, I never had a son.
Yeah, and he's like, I never had a dad, so it's magical.
It's like, well, what about Albert? What about him? You saw him. He's a village idiot. Oh, poor Albert. So
I love him.
I would stop talking crap about Matthew Labrador's character if he came on the show.
That's a threat.
But otherwise, that's not going to happen. So, Albert, you suck. And yeah, that's so we get a little funny Carrie moment here, which I don't. It's a filler episode, but yeah. I thought it was. It's worth playing just because she does have a little bit of a line, at least.
Ma, something's crawling on me.
Oh, let's see.
Huh? It's Todd.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it could be very dark here.
Oh, it's only Bandit. Come on. Where'd you
go? Just this flea-ridden dog in your bed.
Yeah, exactly. And how old do you think Carrie is? Like 7?
Maybe.
Too old for this.
Too old for a little puppy, for a big, huge 80-pound dog in her bed, and it's like, something's in my bed.
Yeah, she doesn't even know what it is.
Like, Carrie, just play with the twigs in the wall. I'm tired of it, Ma. Yeah. So, Charles bought him a shirt, bought Todd a shirt.
Yes.
Very nice gesture, I think.
He said, you know, it's a bonus for how hard he worked. And, you know, maybe if he feels kind of spiffy, he'll go to church with us tomorrow.
Yeah, and he's a little bit pushy when it comes to the church thing tomorrow.
And even Ma's like, don't get your hopes up. That's not really who he is, but you're a good guy for offering.
Now, I don't know if you know anybody who's like this, who is very terrible at accepting gifts. I'm one of these people. I have a hard time. Too. Oh, you are?
I definitely am. It's awkward.
I love giving gifts. Like, to no end, I love giving. And secretly, I love getting gifts. But I have a difficult time feeling as though I deserve it. I don't know. It's a little bit of my own personal hang-up. I don't know if you have a similar thing. I don't know why I feel that way.
I personally just kind of feel awkward, and I feel like when I thank somebody, it's not getting it fully across.
Yeah.
Like, how much it means to me.
Yeah. I also feel like if I didn't get somebody something and they got something for me, mm-hmm. I feel terrible. Like it's the worst.
It's like a debt, and it's like, okay, I'm in their pocket. Like, you just know on your like scoreboard in your mind, like they have one tally mark and I have zero. Or maybe that's just me.
No, I feel that way sometimes. And I don't know. I think that there's something like that in Todd, the Todd character. And it's very apparent here. As
He can't handle love from a man. Like, he didn't have that with his dad. He can't handle his grandpa loving him. He can't handle Charles loving him or being kind to him. And I think that has a lot to do with it.
Yeah. He also doesn't like to be told what to do by anyone, it seems.
No. And he also hates shirts.
Well, we get to learn that. But, you know, he's sharing a, what did they call this? A sod?
Yeah, a soddy.
A soddy. Yeah, there's I don't know if these are actual bushels, but they're baskets. And yeah, you have, the green apples and red apples, onions,
sweet potatoes
and regular potatoes, like Idaho potatoes. Where'd you get those things? But, it's just kind of hilarious. I wish I kind of had a little soddy. I don't know what I would put in it.
I feel like it'd be so nice and cool.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Is this where grandpa was going to live?
Exactly. That's where he was staying for a minute.
Here's Charles.
Morning. Breakfast about ready.
I'll be right down.
We're gonna go to church right after we eat. You're welcome to join us.
Oh, no. I'll just be packing up my things.
All right, suit yourself. I wish you'd change your mind.
Like I said, I'll be packing up my things.
Now, this was the most normal version of Todd, I think, that we've ever seen.
Yeah, he still is kind of like, you know, what I say goes, but he's not being impolite or rude or any. He's not being a jerk. He's not being aggressive.
He's not even saying anything like, I don't believe in your God, you know, that type of stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
He just is like, no, no thanks. All right.
But so, farm work.
But he opens his shirt that he accepts as a gift from Charles as bonus, like you said. And he gets a flashback to his dad. And he hates that shirt. He hates it.
He has to just destroy it, bite it, pull it, rip it, everything.
Where did the shirt come from?
I'm guessing the mercantile, because Caroline didn't make it. She even said, like, oh, what did you have there?
You mean he bought a store-bought shirt?
I think so. Either that or, you know, we have a deleted scene with Mrs. Whipple somewhere.
And, you know, there's no Mary anywhere to be seen.
Nope.
I think she's... Like, where is Mary? Like, I don't really understand.
I think she's blind.
Is she blind?
She's definitely blind. Yeah, she's definitely blind. I think season six is May We Make Them Proud later on. Mm. I could be wrong on that. Oh, my God. Don't message me about it.
Wait, this is... I feel like it's not... I feel like it's too early for the blind.
She's definitely blind.
All right. I'm the one who's going to get, like, attacked for stuff. But it's... When did she go blind? What season?
I want to say four.
I have to find... Oh, no, yeah, the end of four.
Maybe Make Them Proud is in, like, three episodes from now.
It's the end of... it's in the beginning of 78. The end of season four.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, but she's already, like, married to Adam and...
I'll Be Waving As You Drive Away is the last two episodes of season four.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I need to create a physical, like an image timeline.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, maybe I'll work on something like that.
That's awesome.
So Charles not being able to take no for an answer. I guess he wants more credit for his gift. Some people want that, you know. Some people just can't accept. Hey, thanks. Maybe it's a rash or bacon, you know. And that would have been nice.
I'm sure he wants to see him in the shirt, because last time Charles saw him, he was just like tossing the gift to him across the way. But I wanted to ask you if you noticed what was missing when Ma and the fam loaded up in the wagon to go to church.
Is Gracie missing?
Yes.
Yeah.
They but left her home.
I don't know. Hold on. I'm going to play that scene.
Okay.
And I'm going to watch, because it could be that she's in a car seat in the back.
Yeah. No, she is nowhere to be seen.
That music. Oh, yeah.
I'm just going to go up to the side.
You know what they did, actually? I think I read this somewhere. They used to tie her to the twig wall.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and they would just leave her, you know, a piece of bacon to chew on.
Oh, my God. I bet she's the one making all the lemonade for all these picnics after church.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, she's the one who's sewing these shirts. Poor Gracie.
I know.
Charles will be late.
Just want to ask him one more time. I won't be long.
Your pa sure is stubborn.
Almost hear them say, where's Gracie? She fell down a well. I mean, an air shaft. Pipe. Yeah. I think it was the vent hole to a mine shaft.
Uh-huh. Close. Done?
This sun thing will be repeated over and over again.
Yes, triggered.
I don't like it when people use the phrase sun. And in Boy Scouts, I hear it a lot from people.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think there's something about the entire use of the phrase sun, to me anyway, is just, it's a little too overreach. I don't know.
I feel that way.
I
feel like, especially in a Boy Scouts type scenario, you're not going to remember every boy's name off the top of your head. So I'm sure it's probably like saying sir or ma'am. It's just like a generic term for a little boy.
Maybe.
I don't know. I've never called anybody son, but I feel like that's more of a man thing anyway.
Yeah, I think it is. But I would never, ever call somebody who's not my son son.
Hey,
He sees the torn, tattered shirt on the floor.
Carolyn, I want you to go into church without me.
What happened?
He's gone. He just ripped the shirt to bits. I'm going to go check on Virginia and Brew.
You don't think he'd harm them?
After this, I don't know what to think.
These chickens. Jeez. So, yeah, like, he's going to run and check on those old folks.
I know. For some reason, he's like, oh, he tore this shirt. He must have murdered his grandparents. Like, he's genuinely concerned for the grandparents, and so is Ma, and so is everybody.
I just think he seems to just be too involved in this kid's life. I just,
yeah, but that's the Charles Ingalls way.
I know, you need the episode, but
father to everybody.
And here he is. He hears these sounds. I thought he was torturing animals or something. I didn't know really what. You don't know what to expect sometimes on the show.
Sure.
Why do you want to leave Hayden?
I ain't hating. Just leave me be, Mr. Ingalls.
Even now, he's kind of like, just leave me alone. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
Like, he kind of respects Charles.
Yeah, he just wants to be by himself. And Charles is kind of being like, no, you need somebody. You need people in your life that care about you. And son. Todd's just, son, exactly. And I care about you. And Todd's not trying to hear that.
But Todd's about to have a full out mental break.
Oh, yeah.
Probably the worst thing I've ever seen on the show in terms of mental illness.
Yeah. Maybe. It was pretty cuckoo crazy. It was really like, whoa, okay, we are unpacking some emotions here.
Yeah, like that's when you gotta, I mean, step back a little bit.
Yeah.
I gave you a gift because you worked hard for me and I respected you for it. You tore it to pieces. I call that hate.
Call it whatever you want.
You know, the first thing that came into my mind when I saw that shirt, I figured you were in some kind of a rage and I was worried about your grandparents.
Look, I just want to be on my way, that's all.
Really think you want to be on your own, don't you?
It's what I think, all right.
That's it. No ties with anybody. Not your grandparents, not even your ma.
That's right.
You're fooling yourself, son. Everybody needs somebody.
Not me. I don't need anybody.
Yes, you do if you just listen to me, son.
So cut. We need oil on Charles' chest. Pronto. he's very emblazoned. And the guy's in great shape. He's probably in the best shape of his life throughout these seasons. He's built. Like, he's a kind of big guy.
Yeah, no, he definitely is. But I feel like at this phase and going into, you know, season 7, Highway to Heaven, those kind of ages, I feel like you can tell something's not right. And obviously he died of like pancreatic cancer, but I feel like he's just like getting a little skinnier and like a little more hollow. And he's just not that like strapping, you know, season 4 Charles, but it's like kind of sad to watch.
You know, it really breaks my heart whenever I look at like behind the scenes footage or photos and like 90% of them, he's holding a cigarette. Like, it's really heartbreaking. Like, it's.
I know, but it's a sign of the times.
Yeah, it really is. But the guy, like, literally in every scene and like everywhere. I wonder, is that why he smoked a pipe, you think, to just so he didn't have to smoke cigarettes?
Well, that's what he you know, smoked pipe in the book too, pod.
True, yeah. But he's really smoking the pipe. You know, you could fake it, I guess.
But, you know, we were talking about gold chain Michael Landon and, you know, showing off his body Michael Landon, cigarette Michael Landon. You got to admit, the guy lived his life and he loved it. He looked like he had some fun.
No, there's no doubt about it. I mean, he grew up in Hollywood. You know, like he kind of found success very early. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he definitely, you know, he's a tabloid star too. You know, I just think it's a real shame whenever I see like somebody who like is this far in the game, to, you know, because it's not like an accident. Like today, the news of Kobe Bryant, I'm sure you heard about his helicopter crash. you know, that's something that, you know, he was on a helicopter. I mean, it's, I don't know all the details, but, you know, that's just, it seems to be an accident. Mm-hmm. You know, almost unpreventable, you know, like nobody could see the future. And it's just, it's, I see something like this and it just seems like a real sad state of affairs for a bad habit.
Yeah, like if you had a time machine, you could go smack it out of his hand or something.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't think I would be able to get that close to him, but of course I'd be an infant.
Well, you're in a time machine. I mean, you wouldn't go back. You'd be like nowadays, Mark.
No, I would probably have a time machine where I actually get younger when I'm there. So I have to be 2 years old and somehow achieve what I want to achieve. That would be my time machine.
You know, you and I may have a show in the works here.
The show that just, it's just real stupid. That's what they'll call it. It's real like dumb.
Baby crime fighter.
Baby crime fighter. What are you saying, baby?
Goo goo gaga.
Yeah, exactly. All right, here we go.
Don't you call me son.
Don't you call me son. That should have been the title of the entire episode.
It's just an expression.
No, it's not. Something you believe. Something you think. You think you're my paw. Well, you're not. You're just a dumb farmer. And you got no right to give me things. I want nothing from you. You're all alike. You're just like my paw. That's why he's dead, because I hated him. And I hate you. I hate you. I hate you. Come on, hit me.
I don't want to hit you, son.
What's wrong with you? Hit me.
And calling him son again. Okay.
Yeah, that was on purpose.
That was like, son. You know, just wants to see how much crazier I can make you.
Yeah, he should have stepped back on that second son. The first one's an honest mistake. The second one's like antagonizing him.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Scuffling. Now, you got to listen real carefully to the psychotic break happening. Mm-hmm. I don't mean to laugh. It's terrible what this guy had to go through. It's just, it's crazy. What? Hold on. Yeah, but it's like, I don't even, do you see Charles really being a father figure to him? I mean, maybe, I guess, obviously, yes, right?
Yeah, I do. I do. Only because Charles just fills that role for so many people, including like all the viewers, you know? And he just, I don't know, he's worked. I totally see it. He's the only one that's disciplining him. He is getting results out of him. He's calling him son, even though he doesn't want to be called son. He's buying him
Don't call me son!
Yeah, I totally see it. And so, you know, they're scuffling, which I feel like is kind of like a weird macho father-son thing that happens sometimes. And Todd's just crying upon Charles's manly bosom and just letting it all out.
I just feel like what we're missing in this entire episode is that one sentimental conversation where maybe Charles is smoking his pipe by the fence at night and he comes up and he talks about him for, you know, 2 minutes about something. And we're missing that. We're missing him eating a meal with the Ingalls.
Yeah, I guess we are just supposed to assume it happened without actually seeing it happen because they worked for 2 weeks together. I'm sure they ate meals. I'm sure they had, you know, heart-to-heart conversations out there when they were working. And
I don't know. I mean, you know, Caroline goes really quick to go, you know, do you think, you know, first instinct is he going to kill his grandparents?
Yeah, that's pretty dramatic, honestly. Yeah. That would not be my first instinct. But, you know, good neighbors, let's go and check.
This is also a very rushed episode. So, as we can tell by how quickly this recovers, but but here we go.
I love you. I love you. Why'd you have to die? I want you to die. I love you. I love you. Let it out, boy. Let it out, boy. Come on.
It's So I guess he got through to him. We go to the church. You know, it's, of course, it's Sunday.
And Charles is following about 5 seconds behind Caroline, even though we just had this whole blow up. He went to their house and all this stuff, but he's right behind her.
But another thing that's kind of funny is we never really learn, you know, up to this point, what happened to the Davenports.
Right.
For exactly. All we know, he did kill them.
Yeah, he called, because when Charles first gets there, he calls for them and there's no answer. So maybe he did.
Yeah. Oh, but they go into the church and Albert makes a very keen observation.
Mom, look, the Davenports.
Thank goodness they escaped.
Thank heavens they're all right.
It's something they were really concerned about. I don't think that's the kind of thing that you don't sit down and have dinner with somebody and think that they're a great person and then think this person is clearly capable of harming his own family.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, you know, they know he's a ticking time bomb and they just see that he lost his stuff when he ripped up the shirt. So they're just, I'm sure they're just thinking the worst case scenario.
Charles comes in with Todd. His mm-hmm. shirt is even more open.
Mm-hmm. And even more glistening from Todd's tears.
Well, yeah, and his own. Let's mm-hmm. not forget, Michael will shed a tear.
Oh, yes.
On the spot at any moment. And he's, you know, Todd goes right up to his grandparents. And it
and
seems
they're so yeah. cute, and they're so happy that he's there.
And it's like an unspoken understanding because they're all singing. I think they're mm-hmm. singing right here.
Every wandering child, ring the bells of heaven. There is joy today. For the wonder now is reconciled. Yes, the soul is grand.
There's a guy next to Almanzo, this big balded. Kind of bald head, and he's got a big beard, and he's kind of sharing the hymn book with him. Who's that guy?
I don't know. When I first saw it, and I just first saw him out of the corner of my eye, I was like, is that Mr. Garvey? But then when you get closer, it's like, no, who is that? But maybe it's his little girlfriend's dad or something.
Maybe. But he's this big guy, and he's, for whatever reason, you know, Almanzo's, maybe he's the dad of Almanzo's girlfriend.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, it's good.
But you think she would be standing next to Almanzo.
Especially sharing a hymn book is so, like, romantic.
Right, isn't it? It seems to be, like, the Davenports are probably sharing one. but there's this unspoken understanding that he's okay now.
Yep.
He's a whole new person.
Yeah, 40, exactly.
40 minutes have passed.
And we'll never see anybody ever again.
Yeah, it's a bit of an abrupt ending. But, you know, it's finding the goodness in people and giving them second chances, maybe?
Yeah, giving them second chances and, like, hearing them out. You know, who has ever even really sat and talked with Todd about, you know, how has this affected you? Like, you know, what's going on inside? Everybody just kind of judges them by what's going on the outside. So, you know, it's nice. It's good. Talk about your feelings and just work, work, work.
And that's the message that they wanted to end the 70s on.
Exactly.
You know, and I'm going to think that this show ended the year doing very, very well. It would return, I think, on January 7th. Mm-hmm. And the next episode, I believe, is The Werewolf of Wannagrove. Is that the title?
Yes, which should be a Halloween one. So, like we were saying, their episodes are all kind of out of whack.
Yeah. But, you know, we go from this to a school bully episode. So that's kind of interesting. But nonetheless, I think that I thought this was a good episode. I thought the mental break at the end was a bit dramatic. And
oh, I liked it.
I liked it. I just wonder how a kid would react to that. I just think it's kind of crazy.
It was just like, what I like so much about it is the back and forth. Like, I hate you. I love you. Yeah, why do you have to die? I want you to die. Like, he was going through it. And I just, that actor, he was a great actor. I don't know why he left acting. I thought he pulled it off.
Yeah, he had a pretty good look, too, for the time. His hair is certainly not for the period of time. It's all feathered. But he definitely, I thought he was appropriate for this role. Of course, the grandparents are perfect for this role. I would have liked to see them return.
Me something. Too. Loved the grandparents, like 10 out of 10. They were adorable. I thought they had great chemistry with each other.
Eliza Jane, of course, is always like, I have mentioned this before. I think Eliza Jane is the best dressed and carries herself best out of everyone on the entire show. There's something about her that brings authenticity to the role. I can't really put my finger on it, but she's the one I enjoy the most when I just happen to have this freeze framed and she's in the scene.
I agree. No, she's so prim and proper. Like, I could just picture Eliza Jane, and not Lucy Lee Flippin, but like Eliza Jane with practicing walking with the books on her head, you know?
Right. Right.
Trying to keep that posture.
That would be like if Disney were to buy Little House on the Prairie, they would have a prequel. And it would be the life, instead of, you know, how they're doing like Boba Fett and all that stuff, they would be doing the life of Eliza Jane.
Oh, I would watch it. You know, like if you read Farmer Boy, it's pretty Eliza Jane centric. There's a lot of her in there.
Well, I'm looking forward to reading all of these, and I think we talked about that briefly, and hopefully we can start that up pretty soon.
Definitely.
But Kim Lehrer, I want to thank you very much for getting together this evening to discuss this wonderful episode.
Well, the pleasure was all mine. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider supporting One Up Grovecast by heading over to patreon.com/OneUpGrovecast. Any support is appreciated.